Welcome to another inspiring podcast from True North Church. We hope this message encourages and blesses you. For more information about our church, please visit truenorthak.org.
We are in week two of a brand new series called Running with the Giants. And we're so excited about this series because not only are we preaching it here on Sundays in our adult gatherings, but it's also our life group curriculum. And so how many of you guys went to a life group this past week? Come on, give it a shout. If you didn't, it's not too late to sign up. You can go to the Connect Desk to find that out or on our app. But we are running with the Giants, and we have a main verse. So if you guys have your worship guide, go ahead and pull that out now. And I want to look at our theme verse over the next 7 weeks. This is week two. Comes from the book of Hebrews chapter 12, and it says this: Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run this race with perseverance, the race marked out for us. So that's Hebrews chapter 12, and it starts out with therefore. Therefore is pointing back to chapter 11. Whether you're a new believer, you've just been walking with Jesus for a short time, or you've known God for a while, I want to encourage you, whether it's this week or next, to go to chapter 11 and read through it. It's considered the hall of faith, or the hall, the heroes of the faith when it comes to scripture. And the author tells stories about the heroes of the faith that which we have in the Bible. And we're imagining during the series that we're at a track and field, a stadium, and we are going to run, or those of you who choose to walk. Who's a walker with me? Anybody want to walk the lap as opposed to run the lap? Okay, I'm going to walk the lap just so I don't get out of breath, because I don't want to make sure I don't want to talk to all the heroes, all right? But we're imagining that we're going to run a lap or walk a lap with different heroes of the Bible every week. Last week, we pulled Noah out of the stands and ran a lap with him. And as we had a conversation with him, we learned that everybody, even one person, can make a difference. And so today we're going to pull Mary out of the stands. And we're going to look at the life of Mary. But one of the things I love about that verse is that the Bible recognizes that the run or our life is not easy. How many of you guys are thankful for that? It's not easy, and it's going to take perseverance, and it's going to take training, but the Bible recognizes that, and it knows that we need to be encouraged. We need to constantly be encouraged in this race that we run, and I pray that True North is a place, one area for you where you come to get encouraged and energized for your race. But we're going to look at Mary today. I love Mary. Mary, the mother of Jesus. You know, she's often one of the most misunderstood people in the Bible. You see, there's a lot of faiths and traditions that have made Mary into something she's not, because the Bible doesn't say that. Mary was just an ordinary girl when we come to her story in the Gospels, which is the first four books of the New Testament. And she has an encounter with an angel, Gabriel, who says, you're going to have a baby, even though you've never been with a man. Oh, and by the way, that baby is going to be God on earth. Good to see you. And actually, Bible scholars say that Mary was probably a teenager, almost as young as 14 years old. So imagine being a 14-year-old. You're out maybe doing some gardening, doing some chores that mom and dad asked you to do. An angel shows up and says, you're going to have a baby. You've never been with a man. He's going to be the Son of God. But here's what Mary would say to us. So what is Mary going to encourage us with? And we're going to dive into her story here. But this is what Mary would say to us as she steps out of the stands and we start our lap around the track. She would say, for when God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, here's what I want to tell you about God. God is notorious for that right there. Getting you out of your comfort zone. God never intended us to live comfortable lives. And so for when God asks you to do something outside your comfort zone, Mary would say, don't miss your moment with God. Don't miss it. It's going to be too important. Don't miss it. You see, God speaks to us. God is speaking to us, to you. He's setting up opportunities for you to do things. He's wanting to have encounters with you. And in fact, that's what one of the roles that we believe, and if you are part of our This Is Us series, you know, one of our mission statements is we want to have an encounter with God. We desire that you, when you come here every week, you have an encounter with God. Whether it be through worship, the word, all of the above, the community in the lobby, Because here's the thing, I'm convinced an hour and 15 minutes at True North Church on your Sunday is going to do you good. But can I tell you that a second with God is going to do you better? And that doesn't happen just once a week. You can have a moment with God every single day that does you better than maybe what you're looking forward to on Sunday. You can have those moments with God. And Mary's teaching us today to not miss it. She'd say, don't miss your moment. You see, those moments can look different depending on who you are, what God's wanting to do in your life. For Mary, it was an angel that showed up and surprised her. It said, do not be afraid. For Moses, it was a burning bush. He was just walking around and boom, the bush lights on fire and God begins to speak to him. We look at Samuel in Scripture, and Samuel was sleeping and he kept hearing a voice speak to him, and he thought it was his leader, his mentor, and he kept going, no. And the mentor said, next time you hear it, say, God, speak to me, I'm listening. And then also for Nehemiah, it may be a growing burden within inside you to do something and to meet a need. And oftentimes, God moments and the way that God's work, he doesn't always do it the same. He does it differently every time. And it's going to be different for all of us. But Mary doesn't want us to miss our moment. So this morning, we're going to look at three things that Mary teaches us about God moments. And if you're taking notes, write this down. Number one, the first thing that Mary would teach us is that God moments often seem impossible. God moments often seem impossible. You know, God may speak to you and say, I've got a challenge for you. I've got direction for you. He may speak to you and say, you know what? There's something I want you to give up. There's something you're focusing too much on this and you spend more time doing this. Or maybe he might speak to you and say, hey, I want you to go up to that person and pray for them. And you know what happens oftentimes when God speaks to us and we have that God moments, our first response is like, oh, God, I don't think so. God, there's no way I can't give that. It seems impossible, right? And so often we either discount what God's speaking to us or we stiff arm him. We do the Heisman on him. We're like, God, get away. If you don't know what the Heisman is, it's a trophy for college football, and this dude's holding a football and stiff arming people. But we stiff arm God. We say, God, that's not the God. You don't know me, God. You can't do that. And so we push God away when he speaks to us or when he challenges us to do something. You say, I don't get it. That's impossible. Let's look at Mary's story, Luke 1, 31 through 34. It says, you will conceive and give birth to a son. This is the angel speaking to Mary. And you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end. How will this be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin? She's like, wait. How can this be? I don't get it. How is this going to work? Do you realize that all of us in this room are at a disadvantage being 2,000 years later American? Because we have a lot that Mary didn't have. We have knowledge. How many of you guys are thankful for knowledge, right? How many of you guys are thankful for Google? If you don't know something, you can just Google it and get it known right there. I love Google. But knowledge is increasing at a rapid rate. They say, in fact, knowledge is either doubling or tripling in 3 years. Every 3 years, knowledge is increasing. And I love knowledge and I love growing in knowledge, but we have to be careful not to rely so much on our knowledge at the expense of God doing something great in our lives. Because when we rely on knowledge, we're discrediting the impossible with which God can do. For a lot of us, we're depending on the facts instead of depending on faith, and it's keeping miracles from happening in our lives. God speaks to us, or we don't understand something, and so we want the scientific method. We want to line it all out. We want A, B, B, A, B, C, B, D. We want to lay it all out, but God says, no. You got to operate in the faith. A lot of times when God speaks to us, we immediately get here. We're thinking through it rather than operating out of our heart and the faith of which we have in God. And Mary's saying, don't get here, get here. Don't miss your moment with God. God is still working miracles. He's still working miracles today in America and all over the world. God is doing special miracles far greater than we could ever imagine. You may say, well, I don't understand it. I've got to understand it before I go obey it, God, so you need to show me before I'm going to obey it. And God says, I'm going to have to show them again. Write this down. Miracles happen when our willingness to trust God intersects with God's plan. It's not on your notes. But miracles happen when our willingness to trust God intersects with God's plan. And see, Jesus often encouraged his disciples when he was with them because he would tell them things and they would say, no, it's not possible. Mark 10:27 says this, Jesus looked at them and said, with man, this is impossible, but not with God. Everyone say all. All things are possible with God. And when that God moment comes, we need to have the discipline to operate out of the faith rather than operating out of our knowledge base. Because when we get to our knowledge base, we discredit the impossible and the miraculous. So that's the first thing Mary would teach us. The second thing Mary teaches us about God moments is this. When God moments come, just say yes. Turn to your neighbor and say yes. Mary said, I don't know how this is going to happen. I'm a virgin. But literally in the next verse, she says this, Luke chapter 1, verse 38. She says, I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be fulfilled. And then the angel left her. She said, you know what? I don't understand it. I don't get it. But may it be true. May it be fulfilled in my life. And there's nothing wrong with thinking that the impossible can happen, but when we continue to operate in the impossible and we let the impossible in our mind continue to go on, then we're discrediting and discounting God. She didn't stay in the impossible. She said, you know what? Seems impossible, but I trust God. I know God, and I believe that it can happen. And honestly, I think this right here shows us something about Mary, but I also think it shows us something about Mary's parents. Mary's parents discipled and pointed their daughter to a God who was faithful, who was just, who heard her prayers, who answered prayers. And guess what? If you're a parent in this room or you're going to be a parent one day, you have that very same opportunity to point your kids to a God who can do the impossible. He can do it. Even at a young age, you can instill that in them. And as a dad, my desire is to point my kids to God. And if my kids, when they leave my home at 18, if they know God's voice, they obey it, not by their power, but by the power of the Holy Spirit, I've done my job. That's my job, to point my kids to a God who can do the impossible. And Mary's parents did that, and you can do that as a parent as well. You see, when God has a plan, we have to trust that, and Mary did that. And you might say, you know what? Well, I have a whole lot of questions. God, it's not adding up. You see, our hope must weigh more than our questions. There's nothing wrong with questioning God, but we look to the cross. We look to the last time that God moved in our life. We're reminded of all these things that God is and who he is, and our hope has to outweigh our questions. Have you ever thought of the list of questions that Mary probably had? Lengthy. I mean, number one, she gets done with this encounter with an angel, and she has to immediately, I imagine she was probably out in the courtyard doing something. She walks back into the house, into the living room, and mom's probably sitting there in the chair doing a crossword, or she's knitting, and dad's sitting on the recliner, the lazy boy watching football on a Saturday, amen. And she comes in, and she's like, Mom, Dad, Mom looks up, yes, dear, I've got something to tell you, okay? I just saw an angel, and he says that I'm going to have a baby, and it's going to be God. You what? Dad jumps out of his chair. Yeah, this angel just... Or imagine being Mary who had to see her friends at school the next day, maybe, and they're in the hallway sitting at the locker room, and she's telling her friends, and her friends are like, oh, yeah, right. You haven't been with a man, but you're going to have a baby? Who you been fooling around with? Oh, girl, you know Joseph's going to leave you now. You did it. You done it. He's out. You had a good man and you ruined it. Right? Or Joseph. Mom, dad, friends, Joseph. Hey, babe. Gonna have a baby. Who you been messing around with? The questions, right? Or imagine being Mary, who knew in the religious day of that day, if they found out in the synagogue that you were with child without having been married, they would pull you out in the streets and stone you for those kinds of things. You see, this is what Mary faced, and she knew all that going into saying, God, let it be fulfilled. Let it be fulfilled. Talk about questions and fear. She had that, but she remained here in her heart, not here in her mind. It reminds me of a story in the gospel of a synagogue leader who comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, my daughter's dying. I need a miracle. I've heard about you. I've heard of all the things you've done. Can you please come to my house and heal my daughter before she dies? And Jesus says, okay. And they start on their way. They're going to Jairus' house. He was a synagogue leader. And on the way, this woman with an issue of blood touches Jesus, and he stops and he begins to talk to her and heal her. Now, mind you, Jairus just frantically comes to Jesus and says, hey, can we hurry to my house? Jesus has stopped talking to this woman, healing her, having a moment with her, and Jairus is probably like, come on, dude, we got to go. My daughter is dying right now. Hurry this up. While all that's taking place, some people from Jairus' house shows up and says, guys, it's too late. Jesus, Jairus, she's dead. I'm sorry to tell you, but your daughter is dead. It's too late. Friends, can I encourage you today that it's never too late? It is never too late with God. You may think that God is late. You may think that God hasn't shown up. But whenever God does show up, it's the right time, and it's never too late. And so he said, you know what? We read it in Mark 5:36. Jesus, overhearing what they said, Jesus told them, don't be afraid, just believe. I know you just heard that your daughter's dead, but don't be afraid, just believe. And Jesus goes to Jairus' house and raises his daughter from the dead. But some of us have to stop listening to our fears in the moments that we have with God. And some of us have to stop listening to the naysayers that tell us it's impossible. And we need to start listening to the God who is the God of the possible. Amen? That's who we need to listen to. Here's the third thing that Mary teaches us about God moments. It's this: your God moment will open the door for God's best in your life. Your God moment will open the door for God's best in your life. You see, this is what keeps us going. In the struggle and the difficult part of walking with God, and here's the thing, God never promises that everything is going to be perfect and go our way if we walk with him. But what he does promise is that he'll be with us through the walk. He'll be with us through the storm. He'll be encouraging us the rest of the way. But when we remember that the God moment will open the door for God's best in our life, it keeps us going. On the other side of hard times is God's blessing. And Mary knew that. The second the angel left, after she faced, she gets out of Nazareth, her town, because she knew that real cool was going to happen, and she got out of there. And the first place that she goes is to her cousin Elizabeth's house outside in another town. Now, Elizabeth was going to have her own baby. She was older, much older. She seemed impossible to have a baby, but with God, all things is possible, and her baby was John the Baptist. But Mary shows up and arrives, and in a loud voice, the moment she walks through the door, we read in Luke 1:42 through 45, this is what it says about Elizabeth's greeting and welcome. It says, in a loud voice, she exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises in her. She didn't doubt. She didn't naysay. She trusted God too. But for Mary, Elizabeth was going to be an encourager. And she knew that when you walk with God and you walk in faith in God, the blessing is on the other side. Come on. 4.5 years ago, I got a phone call from Anchorage, Alaska, which was very odd because I was living with my wife in Cape Coral, Florida. We were pastors there. And got a phone call, happened to be Pastor Mark. And I knew Mark from a couple interactions years before. But he said, hey, Josh, you know what? I might be taking this church in Fairbanks, and we would love for you guys to be the kids' pastors at our church. And I immediately thought, wow, that's awesome that he called, because I thought very highly of Pastor Mark, loved his heart. And I knew that ultimately I'd be a better leader, a better husband, and a better follower if I followed him. I knew that. But my wife had just got back to Florida because she had to finish her degree in Springfield, Missouri, her teaching degree. I was in Florida during a winter, January to April, and she was in Springfield, Missouri during one of the worst winters they had in like 60 years. I was at spring training baseball and on the beach on my off days, and she was getting stuck inside because they had like 14 days of canceled school because of ice and things. And so I hang up the phone with him, and she's like, no, I'm not going. Like, I hate snow. I just got back. This is perfect because we're both from Oklahoma, so we don't know what, like, clear water is. We just know dirt and lakes and things like that. And she's like, no, I'm not going. I said, babe, come on, let's pray about it. And she was like, fine, I'll pray about it. But behind my back, she's like, no, I'm not praying about it. And this began, I don't think she did. This began, honestly, one of the most, like, difficult months and a half of my life, because I knew a great opportunity was at hand, but I also knew that my wife wasn't on board. So I began to pray, but I also began to research. Anybody here to research? So I researched Fairbanks. I looked at the weather. I looked at the things to eat, because that's important too. I mean, like, I did all this stuff, like housing market. That came after the eating. But, man, I looked and I looked and looked. And then I'd look at something. I'd be so excited. I'd say, babe, listen to this, da-da-da-da-da. And she'd bawl her eyes out and run to the room. And I was really stupid at that time, too. Every time I seemed to bring something up about Alaska is when we were going to somebody's house. And so when I made her mad, we show up at somebody's house, and her eyes are puffy, and she's red. And she's like, why do you do this every time? But for a month and a half, we couldn't get on the same page, and I was, like, stressed out. I mean, I was sick. My dad had drove to Florida from Oklahoma, and I literally remember not being able to eat with him at lunch because I was so nervous and so sick at the decision at hand. And ultimately, I prayed. I said, God, you've got to change your heart, because I'm not changing it, and I'm failing at this. If this is of you, you got to change your heart. And I'm sitting in my office in Florida at the church, and she texts me. She says, you will never believe. After a month and a half, God was dealing with her and speaking to her, this sermon that she was watching online, the preacher was talking about how to understand God's will. And one of the points in his sermon was, God cares about where you live. And he literally said this. He said, you may be telling God that you want to live on the beach, but God may be calling you to Barrow, Alaska. And this was a sermon from a pastor at a different church in another state. Her mouth dropped. She texted me. We couldn't believe it. And ultimately led to our God moment of saying yes. But can I tell you that the last 4 years has been better than we could have ever imagined, because in our God moment we said yes. We have 2 kids now. We're so thankful to be a part of this great church. We are seeing God moving in our lives because of our yes. But it was a moment that we had to stop listening to people who thought that our first child that was going to be born here had to fly back down to the States to be born so that she could be an American citizen, not in Alaska. I mean, there was all these things that people were saying, right? You're on the beach. No, I'm true. Somebody really thought that. You're on the beach. Why would you leave? You just thought all this stuff. You know what? We had to tune all that out. Way to look to God. Say, God, if you're doing this in our life, if you're leading us this way, we're going to say yes, because we know that in the middle of your will, whether it be at 40 below, it's better than being in Florida at 70 degrees in the middle of the winter. God's best in your life is right after walking in obedience. And here's the thing. God has a blessing waiting on the other side of obedience. What is God calling to you to do? I believe there's some of you in this room that God's been telling you to do something, and you've been stiff-arming him, and I believe the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now, nudging you, saying, say yes. Look what I'll do in your life when you say yes. And I can't wait to hear those stories. You see, when the time came for Jesus' public ministry to begin, the first miracle he performed was at a wedding ceremony, and I love what Mary says in John 2:5. It says, his mother said to the servants, listen, whatever he says to you, just do it. Because it's about to go down. He is about to show up and do something. It may seem crazy. It may seem dumb. But you better do it. Because he's here. And he's going to move. And he turned water into wine and all that. But here's the thing. What is God asking you to say yes to? Your best is on the other side of that yes. You operate in faith. So as we finish up our lap, Mary would say this to us. As we end our time with her, she's going to leave us with a couple encouraging words. But she would say this. How do you cultivate these God moments in your life? She's going to tell us 4 things. Number one, this right here. Stay connected to God. You want to have God moments in your life, you've got to be connected to God. And let me give you one word. One word that'll help you stay connected to God, and that's worship. Write it down, worship. Turn the news off. Turn the voices off. Turn secular music off just for a moment and turn the worship music on and have a moment with God. You got to cultivate that. You might be like, I don't hear God's voice. Well, try to put yourself in a place where you're allowing your ears and your heart to hear God speak to you. And worship does that for you. I don't know if it's just me, but when I come in here on a Sunday and we worship and we're in God's presence, every distraction, everything that I've faced through the week is forgotten because I've turned my eyes to Him. I'm focusing on Him. When I'm worshiping, not only am I worshiping God for the things that He's done in my life, but I'm worshiping God for who He is. I might be going through a valley and a hard time or whatever it is, and things might not seem going my way, but when I come to worship, I'm not looking at my things. I'm looking directly at God. I say, God, you are just. You are faithful. You hear my prayers. And I'm being reminded of who God is. Worship does that. We see it in the Christmas story, Luke chapter 2, verse 16 through 19. So they hurried, and this is the shepherds running to see. They hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. She wasn't shouting. She wasn't celebrating. She was treasuring up this moment of holding that little baby and being reminded of that moment the angel came, the ridicule that she faced, and she worshiped God in that moment, saying, God, it's been fulfilled. I thank you for that. I thank you for that. Jesus says this about being connected to Him in John 15, 5. When you're joined with me and I with you, the relation, intimate and organic, the harvest is sure to be abundant. It's sure to be abundant. Separated, you can't produce a thing. Stay connected to God. Number two, stay connected to your purpose. There were probably times when Mary wanted to give up. There were probably times when Mary was walking around and people would point, hey, there's that woman that we heard. There's that illegitimate child. There were things that people said to her that probably hurt deep down inside. But Mary remembered her purpose. And you and I have to do the same. When we go through hard times, when things don't go our way, when it seems like we don't have enough to pay the bills or our marriage is at rope's end, we have to remember our purpose. And if you're in this room and you don't think you have a purpose, I'm sorry. But you are the child of God, and He created you, and He created you with a purpose. Not just to punch a time clock, but created you with purpose. And there's something that happens when you discover your purpose. You walk with a different hop to your step. How many of you guys remember when you're in elementary school and you got chosen by the teacher to take something down to the principal's office? It may have just been a piece of paper, but that's the best piece of paper you've ever been given. And you're going to make sure that it gets to the principal's office. And you're going to walk and you're going to, you know what? I've been chosen. I've been chosen by my teacher to make sure that this piece of paper gets to the office. And by golly, it's going to get there by me the best way it can. You got purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, that's why we're so passionate about Grow Track. Grow Track is a place where you can discover your God-given spiritual gifts and personality and the way that God's wired you. And when you discover that, you are on purpose and you're making a difference. Every single one of you have purpose in here. You see, Mary and Joseph took Jesus to be dedicated in a temple. And Simeon says this, Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is destined to cause the rising and falling of many in Israel and to be a sign that was spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed. You see, all of you have destiny. All of you have purpose. And when you walk in that, and when you remember that through the God moments and the hard times, Ephesians 2:10, one of my favorite verses, for we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God has prepared in advance for us to do. Think about that for a second. God is preparing opportunities for you right now. In fact, I know somebody that's a True Norther. He's up at the university, and he felt like God was leading him to say a prayer with he and his teammates before a meal. He'd never prayed before, and in that room were many students who had never once heard a single prayer in their entire life. He felt it bubbling up within inside him. He said, you know what? I just had to pray. So I prayed, God, bless us with our bodies. We thank you for you. And in your name we pray, amen. He said he looked up and they were all staring at him. But guess what? He walked in that obedience and he says, I'm having conversations with them every week now because they're asking me about God. And what does that mean? You see, you have purpose. You have opportunities that God has for you. 2 Timothy 1:6 says, this is why I remind you to fan into flames the spiritual gift God gave you when I laid my hands on you. Discover your gifts, discover your purpose, and develop those. Number three is this, stay connected to people who encourage you. Stay connected. Luke 1:56 says, Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home. She knew that she had to stay connected to Mary, somebody who would encourage her and cheer her on. You see, that's why we're so passionate about life groups here. We know that we have to be well grounded in the Word and well surrounded by godly people who are going to encourage us and cheer us on to what God asks us to do. I want to be surrounded by people who say, you know what, that is crazy, but that's God, and if God's calling you to it, I'm going to pray with you and I'm going to cheer you on. You go get them. That's what we have to be surrounded by, and life groups provide that. That's why it's not just a cliche. It's just not something we want for you to do on another night. We know that there's something powerful that happens when you get with people who are godly or searching for God or cheering for God or seeking God that encourage you to do the things that God calls you to do. Hebrews 10:23 through 25 says this, let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as we see the day approaching. So until Jesus comes back, we're going to spur each other on to good deeds. Here's the last thing that she would say, and the worship team can come. Stay connected to the big picture. She would say, stay connected to the big picture. We come to the end of the story of Jesus on earth, and we find Mary at the foot of the cross. In John 19:25, it says, Jesus' mother, his aunt, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. What I want to point out is that she was surrounded by her life group. The people that she did life with was there at her most difficult moment. They stood at the foot of the cross, and Jesus saw his mother and the disciple he loved standing near her. And he said to his mother, woman, here is your son. Then the disciple, who was John, sitting to the side, he said, here is your mother. From that moment, the disciple accepted her as his own. Jesus came to a point in his life where he looked at his mom and said, Mom, thank you so much, but it's my time to go to prepare a place. It's really hard to wrap your mind around the thoughts and the things that Mary was going through as she stood at the foot of the cross and saw her son hanging there. The pain and the torture, but the fulfillment of a promise. But she never lost sight of the big picture. She never lost sight. She knew that what was happening here was ultimately the reason why he came. And friends, we can't forget the big picture as well. You see, we're not here to live here. We're not here to make sure we gain and get as much as we can and work our way up the ladder and all this stuff. We're here to make sure that we make a difference and that we go to heaven and bring as many people as we can with us. We got to remember the big picture. When we go through those hard times, we have to remember that big picture. And as long as you keep your eyes on the picture, the big picture, the ultimate goal, to be one with Jesus in heaven, that's what it's about, amen? Mary's an incredible woman, huh? But God moments, don't miss them. You see, one of the most important moments that you can have in your life is the God moment where you realize that Jesus is a Savior and that God wants to have a relationship with you. The moment where you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ and you give him your life. You say, you know what? It might be difficult and you might ask hard things, but I want a relationship with you. Some of you in this room have had that moment. You can think back to the day it was, and maybe it was in this room or somewhere else, but you remember that moment. Or maybe some of you in this room have never had that moment. Today can be your moment. See, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We're separated from a relationship in eternity with God. But God loves us so much that he sent Jesus to die on the cross. Because in Romans, it tells us that the wages of sin is death. The price for sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We can have a relationship with God, an eternal relationship with him because of what Jesus did on the cross. The Bible says all we need to do is admit that we've sinned and done wrong. Believe in our heart that Jesus died and rose from the grave. And confess our sin because he's faithful and just to forgive us. If you're here today and you want to have that moment, as the ushers prepare to come, I would ask that you guys bow your heads and close your eyes. You say, you know what, Josh, I've never had that moment, but I want to have that moment today. Or maybe you had that moment and you've walked away from God, but you say, you know what, I'm tired of running. I'm tired of going the other direction. I want to continue having daily moments with God. Repeat this prayer after me. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you are the Savior of the world. I thank you for dying on the cross. Jesus, I know I've done wrong, but please forgive me. Come into my life. Help me to be a new creation in you. Forgive me of my sins, and help me to live the rest of my life for you. And in your name we pray. Amen and amen.
We hope you were encouraged by this message. For more information and other resources, please visit TrueNorthAK.org.